So we're on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph, and we're off to V'savra Shmuel Lokeach Migazlan. It's about, I would say, maybe 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. The first word in the line is Inish, and if you move to the left, V'savra Shmuel. The Gemara now goes back to ask what seems to be a contradiction between two statements of Shmuel. Until now, we quoted Shmuel as saying that if somebody buys a stolen karka, he cannot demand shvach from the gazlan, from the mocher, because the money in the hands of the mocher, the gazlan, is like kesef halva, and if it collects more than the exact money that he paid for the field, it's mechzi karibis. So the Gemara asks, V'sova Shmuel, is it really so? Lokeach migazel lesle shvacha, all the improvement that the lokeach put into the field, he has no recourse to collect it. V'ha omar le Shmuel l'rav chinina bar shilas. We have another statement of Shmuel to Rav Chinina. Rav Chinina, what's important to know for our Gemara is that Rav Chinina was a sofer. And the question is, when a sofer writes up a shtar mecher on behalf of the mocher, does he have to ask the mocher what to include in the shtar as far as achrayus is concerned? So Shmuel says to Rav Chinina, imlich, which means that you have to ask and obtain the permission of the mocher if he agrees, uksov, and then you could write the following categories, three categories of achrayus in the shtar, which means that the mocher is now committing himself to back up this sale, that in event that the Baal Chova, the mocher, would come along and collect, or shall we say confiscate, the karka from the buyer, he, the mocher, the seller, would compensate him, number one, shufra, that's called idis. In other words, if he's paying in karka, he would give him the best karka that he has, shvacha, and he gives him any improvements that the lokeach invested in the karka, uperi. And as well, if the karka in the hands of the buyer grew and produced peros, he'll pay him for the peros. And this is a triple header. If the mocher accepts upon himself A, B, and C, then he's got full backing, and the lokeach has full coverage. So the Gemara says, Bimai, what's the case? And basically, the Gemara is going to try to prove that this case of Shmuel is going to be a case of a gazlan who sold his karka by process of elimination. Ibe Balchov, if it's a case of Balchov, which means that the mocher owed a debt, he had an outstanding debt to a Balchov, the Balchov comes and he can't collect from the mocher, so he collects from the lokeach, which he booed him. Is me Islay Peri? Can a Balchov collect from Peros? Vel Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Balchov goves a shvach. Shvach in, avol Peros lo. Shvach has the status of karka, and when the mocher who owed money to the Balchov sold this karka, he sold it with a lien in the karka. And the mocher now has to back up the karka, but peros lo. A balchov cannot even collect peros from the lokeach. So it wouldn't make sense that the mocher is guaranteeing that he'll pay the lokeach for peros in event that the karka is confiscated from the lokeach, because the balchov has no rights to peros. So why would the mocher have to back it up and commit himself to pay, to make good for the peros? There's no way that the balchov could collect peros, because peros have the status of metaltalin, and there's no shibud on metaltalin, and therefore the balchov has no recourse to collect the peros which are metaltalin. So it could not be, therefore, that this horah, this instruction that Shmuel gave to Rav Chinina, was in a case of a lokeach from a lova. In other words, that the mocher was also a lova, and he, the mocher, is now guaranteeing to pay for peros. It doesn't make any sense, because the malva could not even collect peros. So I have a note here in the name of the Pnei Yoshua, and I'll read it to you. He says, V'ein lomar, sha'omnon balchov enik over peros avalokeach rotza shi'ichtavu lo'ach rayus al ashvach l'mikrish balchov yichov esakarka v'ach rayus al peros l'mikrish etimtza gzula v'yitrefena nigzal. So the Pnei Yoshua is asking the following question. Isn't it possible that there's a conditional achrayus here, or shibud, if you will, and the mocher says to the lokeach, in event of X, I will commit to pay whatever. In a case of an event of Y, I will pay you something else. In event that a balchov will collect and confiscate this karka from you, Mr. Lokeach, then I will back it up and pay you shvach. Why? Because the balchov is going to collect the shvach, which, as we said before, is karka. So, who's being toreif the karka from the lokeach? In case number one, it is the balchov of the mocher who's being toreif the karka. And in that context, for that scenario or situation, the mocher accepts upon himself achrayus for the shvach, because the balchov will collect shvach. Then the mocher takes upon himself another achrayus in event that the field is a stolen field and the nigzal confiscates the karka, in which case he can confiscate not only the karka but also the peros, and that's based on the principle that we mentioned earlier of Aroy Ashbach, that anything that was produced by my karka is mine. So if I'm the nigzal, I have right to say to the lokeach, I'm going to confiscate the karka and any peros that are growing in the karka, because those peros are rightfully mine. And the mocher therefore has to back up and guarantee to pay for peros. Which would mean, says the Pnei Yoshua, that we could interpret the instruction of Shmuel to the sofer as referring to a case of peros, because he takes upon himself, Mr. Mocher, a double achrayus for two possible in event of, you know, two eventualities. One eventuality that could happen is that the balchov will be torif the karka for the lokeach, and another eventuality is that the nigzal will be torif the karka from the lokeach. And the word peros here is a reference to that achrayus. So he says the following. Very interesting that he quotes the Shach. The Shach, I think, was about 100 years before the Pnei Yoshua. I'm not sure. He says, Yesh Lomar Kedivrei HaShach. He tells you where you could find the Shach. Dilashitas Shmuel Lokeach Migazlon Eino Yochol Litva Me'amocher Loes Dmei HaShvach Veloes Dmei HaPeros. Right, let's say the Lokeach paid 100. He cannot claim from the Mocher 110 because the karka went up in value, nor 120 because of the payros that he lost. Because then, since he bought the field at 100, anything above the 100 would be ribbis. So therefore, it's impossible to assume that the Mocher gave this double achrayus for the both eventualities. As the Pnei Yoshua had asked, he gave the achrayus in event that the Baal Chov is go over the karka, and that's for the karka and the shvach, and then the peros, which again it would make sense that he would have to back up the peros because the Baal Chov doesn't collect peros, but in event that the Nigzal collects those payros, the Mocher says to the Lokech, you know, I don't want you to be caught out in the rain, so to speak, meaning that you won't be able to get compensated for the payros that are being taken away from you, because the Nigzal certainly has rights to those payros. But that doesn't make any sense, because we're going now according to Shmuel. And we have a member of Shmuel that in the case of an Igzal who collects the karka from the Lokeach, when he goes back to the Mocher, the only amount of money he could claim from the Mocher is the exact amount of money that he paid for the field. There would be no way, it would be absolutely impossible for the Lokeach to collect 1 cent more than what he paid for the field. So that's what the Pnei Yoshua says here in the name of the Shach. So the Gemara says now, let's go back to the instruction that Shmuel gave Rav Chinina. It's impossible that Shmuel was instructing the Sofer to write peros, because there's no way that a Baal Chov could collect peros. So it's absolutely futile, it's nonsensical, it's impossible for the Mocher to have to back up the collection of payros and the loss of payros from the Lokeach, because Lokeach in no way, no how would lose those payros, because the Baal Chov has no right to collect those payros. Elolav, the only way, by process of elimination, of interpreting Shmuel's instruction that the Mocher, if he gives the green light to the Sofer, would be backing up not only the sales price that the Lokeach paid for the Karka, but also backing up the Peros, and also backing up the Shvach, Elolav B'Golkeach Migazlan. It must be the eventuality that the Mocher has in mind, and the Lokeach, of course, is very interested in having a guarantee, a shibut for every possible eventuality, is an event that this field that's being sold to the Lokeach is a stolen field, and the Nigzal comes and he collects not only the karka, but he takes the payros from the karka as well. The Lokeach now goes back to collect the money that he lost from the Mocher, and he took a loss now, not only the karka, but also the payros. And Shmuel, on this particular case, had already committed himself that the Lokeach has no recourse to collect payros, or for that matter, any cent beyond what he paid. And that meant, and that's how we saw Rav Nachman interpreting Shmuel, that there's always going to be a chashash of ribbis when the Lokeach goes back to the Mocher and he wants to collect from the Mocher not only the value that he paid for the field, but also the Shvach and the Peros. So we now are ending up with a stira l'chora, contradiction, between two statements of Shmuel. On the one hand, Shmuel has already committed himself, and that's what Rav Nachman interpreted Shmuel, to the position that the lokeach cannot collect from the mocher anything more than what he paid for the field. And on the other hand, Shmuel is instructing the sofer to extract from the mocher an agreement, a consent to write up a shibud and commit himself to pay for Dmei Shvach and Dmei Peros. And Dmei Peros, as we proved, could only be a case of an exile. How could the lokeach collect Dmei Peros and Dmei Shvach, for that matter, from the nigzal? I have another footnote that I wanted to share with you. He says, "Hainu machmas mashin is barely el daf yudalad amid peis sheshmuel choshesh lemechse keribis came into mea mocher chozrim kipiron halva." Since the money that was paid by the lokeach to the mocher is returned to the lokeach as dmei piron halva, and now if he's paying him tosefes with an extra X amount of money, machmas haperos, that were never paid to the mocher at the time of the sale, that's going to be a chshash ribis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, I'll give you a case where even Shmuel would accept and recognize the rights of the lokeach to get reimbursed not only for the sales price, but also for the peros. And it would not be nirei keribis. So Enoch Hinami, Amar Rav Yosef, we're talking about a case of a lokeach who purchased karka from a gazlan, but Shmuel would be moder under certain circumstances that you could write in the shtar, that's the shtar mecher, that the mocher accepted upon himself to pay above and beyond the dmei karka. He would pay for Paris as well, and there's no nirei keribis. Hachamai askina, what's the case? Kigon sheyesh lo karka. Kigon sheyeshlo karka. So the mocher has karka. He has another piece of land besides the karka that he sold, the stolen karka that he sold to the lokeach. And now, when the lokeach now comes after the field is confiscated by the nigzal, he comes back to the mocher, and he wants to extract payment from the mocher. He's not going to extract payment in mos, because the mocher doesn't have the mos. Let's assume, you know, he ate up the mos. But what he does have is he has a piece of karka. And that karka is mishubedes to the lokeach, in event that the karka that was sold to the lokeach is confiscated by the nigzal. Says Rav Yosef, in such a case, that's not called mechse keribis. Mechse keribis only applies when the payment, the extra payment above and beyond the sales price, is in cash, in currency, in mos. But when he's collecting karka, and we evaluate the karka, we consider two different variables in the value of the karka. Number one, that part of the karka's value that corresponds to the sales price that lokeach paid. And number two, the additional value of the karka to back up the peros, the dmei peros. That's not considered mechse keribis. It's not nikar. It's sort of like hidden, it's concealed, it's swallowed up in the karka itself. So that when the sofer writes achrayas for peros, it's conditional achrayas that would only be materialized if and when the lokeach would be collecting karka from the mocher. Now, earlier on Daf Yudalet Amud Beis, the Gemara said that Lokeach is Gove Mimenu Shvach Mibnei Chori, and the Gemara did not give this answer that we're talking about Karka. So he quotes the Marsha, he says, Lo Dochsa Gemara Liel Shemedubar Biofen Shagova Karka, came in Shaya Nira Le Gemara. The Gemara thought that when it says the word Gvia in that Brisa, and I shouldn't say Brisa, in that statement of Shmuel, Gvia means for Mos. But here it doesn't use the word Gvia, so therefore we can expand it to include Hachamayaskinen, a case where he's collecting Karka. So at this point in the Sugya Rabosai, we have to learn a little bit about the laws of Ribbis. Does Ribbis only apply to cash, to currency? So now we have a Sugya which is called Sa B'Sa. And I borrow from you a certain volume of Peros, any object whatsoever. I borrow from you a dozen eggs, and now it comes time for me to return a dozen eggs. Well, I used up the first dozen eggs, and now I have a different dozen eggs. And the problem is that in the meantime, the eggs went up in price. So I borrowed an object, and I'm paying you back with an object, a be'en, right, a mamoshes thick object. It's not currency. But the object I'm paying back to you is worth more than the object that I borrowed from you. That's called Sa B'Sa. Amalei Abaye says to Rav Yosef, if Shmuel is concerned in the case of Piron, when the Mocher is Porea his Chov to the Lokeach, because when he sells him stolen land, we said that the money in the hands of the Mocher is like Chov, and the problem is Ribbis, says Abaye, it makes no difference as far as Ribbis is concerned, whether the Mocher is going to pay up in currency or pay up in Karka. Why? V'chimuta, yes, it has a rhetorical question. V'chimuta lilvo sa b'sa. Now, this is based on a Mishnah later on Daf Ayin He. In Hilchus Ribbis, there's an Iser called halvas sa is referring to grains, keneged sa. I'm going to give you back the same grain in the same volume. L'chora, that's not ribbis, it's just paying back a sa. But nevertheless, chachamim made a gzera, and they were afraid that maybe the value of chitim on the market would fluctuate, in this case it would go up in value, between the time of the loan, so to speak, and the time of the payment of the loan. And now he's paying more, at least in terms of the value on the market, than what he took and what he borrowed. That's a Mishnah later on. So therefore, Abaye says the following, that Rav Yosef, you really haven't solved the problem here, even if the Lokeach is collecting and the Mocher is paying with Karka, Mokum Sheish Karka, so what? It's still Sa B'Sa. How can you pay him back Karka, even if it corresponds to the value of what he owes him? Amolei. So if Yosef answers to Abaye, Hasam, as far as the Yisrael Halva and Sa B'Sa, that's a case of Halva. If you borrow something and you're going to pay it back, then if you give back an object that is worth more than what you took, that's ribbis, or at least it looks like ribbis. But hacha, here we're not talking about alva, but rather we're talking about zvini. In other words, when the lokeach comes to claim and sue the mocher for dmei shvach, dmei peros, whatever he is, he's coming back as a zvini. In other words, there was a mechira from the beginning, the money that was paid by the lokeach to the mocher was not paid as halva. It was paid as mecher. In this case, says Rav Yosef, the gzera of the chachamim of sa b'sa does not apply. I would formulate it thusly. It's like tarte l'tevusa. Right, there are two different reasons here why this is not a problem of ribis. First of all, we don't know that there was any fluctuation in the value of the market. Elo, what the Chachom are afraid about that. But number two, the Chachomim saw that in the event that there was a fluctuation in the market, then what he's giving back is more than what he took. That's called Mechse Keribis. But here we have another factor. Not only do we not know about these fluctuations, but moreover, he's not really paying back money that he borrowed. He's paying back money to return the money that he received as kesef mechira. And in such a case, that's already too far removed from ribbis. It's like two steps removed from ribbis. And therefore, Rav Yosef says that in such a case, the mechse keribis doesn't apply. So what would be if I gave you karka? Again, it's a little hard to imagine this scenario, but if I gave you karka on the condition that you'll pay me back karka, and not this piece of karka, but a different piece of karka, then there would be no mechse keribis. So let's say I gave you back karka, and now you improve the karka, now you want to get, just one second, if I gave you karka, just let me get the case, and now, right, if I gave you karka, now you're giving me back karka as piron, we don't have to worry about mechse keribis. This is not included in sa b'sa. Ika diamri, now the Gemara has another answer to defend, another answer to reconcile the two statements of Shmuel, meaning, how did Shmuel instruct the sofer on the shtar mecher to include achrayas for not only the keren, but also the shvach and the peros? If we're talking about a gzela situation, then we have a problem. Mechseik ribis. On Rav Yosef, when did Shmuel instruct Rabbi Chanina to write the achrayas on shvach and peros in the shtar mecher? Kigon shekonu miyado. At the time of the mecher, the mocher made a separate kinyan with the lokeach to pay for shvach. That's not called mechse keribis. Why? Because it's a conditional gift, shall we call it, where the mocher says, in order to entice the lokeach to buy the karka, make it a very lucrative purchase. So the mocher says, lokeach, let's make a kabbalas kinyan that I will pay you such and such in event that the karka is confiscated from you. And that would not be ribis, according to Rabbi Yosef. Why? Because when the lokeach comes to claim his money from the mocher, he's really coming with two claims. On the one hand, he's claiming, I want the money back that I gave you, and anything beyond that would be ribis. But on the other hand, he's coming to claim now a separate payment for shvach that has nothing to do with the fact that the mocher was holding on to his money, as if to say that the mocher is paying more for the use of the money. He's not paying for the use of the money. He made a separate kinyan on the shvach. So here we have a Tosis Divyar Maskil Kigon, and Tosis says the following. that when it says in the words of Shmuel, Imlich, which sounds like ask the mocher what shibud he's willing midaito to accept upon himself in the shtar mecher. So why would he have to ask for the consent of the mocher and the shtar if there's a separate kinyan sudar that was made on the payment for the shvach or the payros? Defal Tosus's problem. And Tosus adds another piece here. He says, "Hello, stam kinyan l'ksiva omed," which means the following: that whenever you make a kinyan sudar, the witnesses are automatically commissioned to write up a shtar on that kinyan. They don't have to ask any questions. That's the special power of a kinyan sudar. So if indeed the mocher gave the lokeach a kinyan sudar on shvach, then there's no need to instruct the sofer to write that down in his shtar. To acquire the consent of the mocher to write that down in the shtar. The edim automatically will write up such a shtar. So Tosa says the following: Hainu mishum shedafka vaknas dover shenim to be en omrim stam kinyan l'ksiva omed machmas haratzon lichtov is hosif hamocher es hakinyan al dover she'enu be'en lo amrinon stam ksiva stam kinyan l'ksiva omed. Let me try to explain the Tosa to the best of my ability. I think Tosa is saying the following. He's saying that there's a difference between a kinyan on a be'en, and then we apply the principle of stam kinyan l'ksiva omed, as opposed to a kinyan on a dover she'eno be'en. And he says the following. There's a concept called Hanosein B'ayin Tova Hu Nosein. In other words, if I give you a gift, then it's understood that I want to strengthen your position, your tfisa on that gift. And if that means that a shtar has to be written, then implicit in my das makne is a das ksivas shtar, is an agreement, a consent to write up a shtar. And that's called the ayin yofa hu nosein. So there's no need to gain an explicit commission or consent to write up a shtar. But Tosus says in a dover she'enu be'en, something that doesn't really exist, I mean, it's not tangible. You know, we're talking about future improvements on the karka that the lokech will make subsequent to the sale, or future fruits that'll grow and be produced in the field. Here, we don't assume that hamakne b'ayin yofa hu makne. And therefore you need the haskoma of the Baal HaKinyan, of the Mischayev, who made a Kinyan, to write up a shtar. So if I understand correctly, what Tosus means to say is that the halacha of shtar is a halacha of a complete das makne. When I give you something that's be'en, then I have a total das makne. without any limitations. So therefore, I give you a, here's the object, you know, I'm making a kinyan on the object. Take it. And if a shtar will help, that's called b'ayin yofa. But a das on a davar she'ena be'en, it reminds me very much of a sugya called Eino de Makne Davar Shelo Bo Liolam, which is Machlokas Chachamim Rabbi Meir, but we paskel like the Chachamim, because we don't believe that you have complete das on a davar shelo bo liolam. You could make a kinyan, perhaps, in which case, in our context, the mocher says to lokeach, make a kinyan on futures, future shvachs, future peros. Question is, why isn't that a davar shelo bo liolam? In other words, I'm selling you the karka, and along with the karka, I'm selling you rights to own any improvements in the karka. That's also included in the mechira. And now I could take, I could create a kinyan on those improvements. It's not 100% clear. I don't know if anybody is is able to empathize with my problem here, because I understand that the das is not the same das on a davar shelo bo liolam. Tosfos calls the davar she'eino be'en, and therefore we don't say stam kinyan l'ksiva omed in this case, because he didn't give it to him with all that das. It's not a tangible object. But what I don't understand is exactly how the kinyan operates. L'chora, it's a davar shelo bo liolam, unless we say somehow that schus is inherent in the karka, the schus to produce, shvach or peros is somehow in the karka. Becomes like a kinyan karka le perosov. In other words, I can't sell you peros that are futures, but I can sell you karka le perosov, a keren le peros. That's called a kinyan peros. Like, for example, Nichse Malug, I mean, in the case of Ksuva, that would be a classic case, where she's maknet to the Baal, not the Gufa Karka, that's only in Nichse Tzom Basel, but rights to collect the peros from this Karka. Now, how could she be maknet that? It's a Dover Shelo Bo Liolam. But the answer is, it's a kinyan Guf Le Peroso. So all these Nechasim that she brings into the marriage are Knuyim for their rights of payroll. So, he can rent out the apartment and he collects the rent. Here also, I'm giving you rights to the karka, to improve the karka, and to produce. And now I want to make a separate kinyan on that enhancement, on that increment in the value of the karka. Not sure exactly. But in any event, the bottom line is that Tosus says the sofer has to ask for explicit consent from the mocher to agree that there will be a shtar written up on this separate kinyan for shvach and peros. Only Abaye, once again, Abaye objects because of a chashash ribis. And he says the kinyan itself is not going to obviate, it's not going to circumvent the problem of ribbis. Why? He says v'chimutar, we go back to the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey, v'chimutar lilvo sa b'sa b'makom shekanu biyado. In other words, basically, according to you, Rav Yosef, we can undermine the whole gzera of sa b'sa, and we can solve that problem. Which again is theoretically possible, but Abai doesn't believe that that's the case. We can solve the problem of ribis by just making a separate kinyan with the Makabel, with the one who received the saw, and he's going to say, look, if I return to you a saw, the same exact volume, and it's worth more, here's a kinyan on that increment. So the original saw was worth 100. Now the saw, when he returns it, is worth 110. So he, the lover, will make a kinyan that'll pay a saw, which will be comprised of two different variables, two different elements. It's the saw itself and its increase in value. And now the lover is paying that increase in value not as ribis, but rather as by virtue of a separate kinyan. So have you not undermined the entire institution of saw b'saw? Amalei. So I'll tell you the truth, I was hoping that Rav Yosef would say an Ochinami. I mean, they could set up such an agreement. So you're like, we have a heter iska. You know, there are different ways of circumventing the problem of ribis. But no, that's not what he says. Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Hasam, in the case of these ribis of Sabasah, halva, that was really a halva. In other words, I gave you this, and I expect you to pay me back. And they are the Rabbanim made Gzera of Iser Ribis, and they're not going to allow for any harama, you know, any circumventing of the Iser Ribis by setting up a separate kinyan. But Hacha Bizvini. But here we're talking about a case where the Mocher sold a piece of property. He received the money from the Lokeach as payment for the Zvini. The Chachamim are not going to impose extend a gzera of saw b'saw for nisa ribis if and when the mocher sets up a new kinyan on the extra increment beyond the value of the field. Now the Gemara goes back to the sugya of Shmuel in the case where the malva collects from the lokeach. So what happened? The lova defaults on his loan, and the malva now goes to the karka, the lokeach of the lova. Omar Shmuel, balchov goves hashvach. The balchov has rights not only to collect from the lokeach of the lova for the karka itself, but also, I'm sorry. So again, what's the case? The balchov comes to collect from the lokeach of the lover, and now after the balchov confiscates that karka, the lokeach now has recourse to go back to the lover. I'm sorry. Yeah. To go back to the lover and to claim from the lover not only the karka as it was worth at the time of the sale, but even the increment that was generated by improvement, by shvach. So the Gemara now wants to prove Shmuel. Now let's just think, what was the Havamina here? Just one second. I'm not sure. Let's see if as we go through the sugya we can figure out why the Gemara feels compelled to prove Shmuel. Just one second. Because the lokeach now invested in the karka. The karka was confiscated by the balchov and the lover. And now Shmuel says that when the lover sold the karka and he took upon himself achrayus, he becomes responsible for any improvement that the lokeach makes in the karka. And that's part of the shibud. Again, I think Shmuel would require that the sofer get that consent. Right? That's what we said before. But at the end of the day, when the loves sells his karka, he took upon himself a shibud to pay back the lokeach in event that the karka is taken away by his bal chov, and pay him back the price, the market value of the karka at the time of the trefa, of the time of the confiscation. Omar Rava, Teid, I'll prove to you that Shmuel's right. Shekach kosev lo mocher lokeach. So there was apparently a tradition, a well-known tradition, as to what the standard nusach of a shtar mecher would include. Ana ekum. So the mocher is saying, I will stand up. Stand up means to calm you down, to help you. That's the mocher saying, okay, to stand by your side, so to speak, and guarantee that you won't take any loss. The ashpe, the adake, the amorek zvina ilon inun, the amleon ushvacheon. He says the following. I'll read it to you in the Hebrew translation. He says, Ashkit kol irur sheyotza al asode. In other words, if anyone wants to claim that the sale was not a valid sale, I will stand up, says the mocher, against them, and I'll quiet down any sort of claim against the field. And that's the lashon of amorek zvini. Lemorek is a kind of a process of purification. So I will purify this sale to make sure that any claim against to disqualify the sale will be quieted down. Meaning that I will establish in Beis Din that I have rightful ownership on this field, and that no one could question the validity of the sale. Okay. Now, this commitment, shall we call it, this is chayvus, that's written by the mocher in the shtar, will cover also amaleon vishivcheon. In other words, not only on the karka itself am I responsible, but also on any outlays of money that was spent to improve the karka, and on any shvach that you, meaning lokeach, will improve in the karka. And then the nusach of the shtar goes on. The ekum kodomach vitzave zvina dinan. Again, the same language of ekum kodomach that we had before. And I will stand by you, as we said, and I will make sure that this kinyan is a valid kinyan. And he says here, Umashi yitbu mimcha, and if anyone claims from you, Mr. Mocher, bein me'akarka, ubein me'hotzos, shahoyu l'cha bakarka, ubein me'ashvach sheba, he says, im yigvu osa mimcha, olai l'shalim l'cha, kol hefset. The Kabil Eloi, and I accepted upon myself this commitment, this is chayvus. In any event, we see clearly from this lashon of the shtar mecher that Shmuel is right, that because of the chayvus of the mocher to pay the lokeach, that is chayvus extends to include even the dmei shvach if that is confiscated from the mocher. Because the Baal Chov collects shvach, as we said, because that's inherent in the karka, And now the mocher is backing up this sale as far as his chayvus to pay the lokech, an event that the Baal Chov collects the karka, is backing up the shvach as well. So again, let's go back. Ana ekum, the ashpei. Ashpei is lahashkit. I'll quiet down, meaning I'll quiet down any claim against the validity of this sale. And then he says viadke. I'm not sure what viadke means. Maybe viadke means in totality. Vamorek zvinilun, and I will, so to speak, clean up this sale, meaning purify the sale. He says here in the footnote that Amrik is miloshon umorek achar shchita. I guess it means to complete the shchita, so I will complete this sale. I will back up the sale. But in any event, you see from the nusach of the shtar mecher that this is what they were rugil, this is what was accepted practice about achrayus. There was achrayus even on shvach. So it means the Baal Chov could collect the shvach from the lokeach, and the lokeach could go back to the mocher. Now, if you hold achrayus to sofer, then the truth is you don't need this whole nusach. But whatever would have been in the nusach of the achrayus, that's what we say achrayus tol sofer, which means that even without writing this nusach, the lokeach has recourse to collect from the mocher shvach. Amale Rab Chiya bar Ovin l'Rava elameata. If the reason why the mocher has to pay the lokeach the dmei shvach is because he took his chayvus in the shtar mecher, is matana. What about a case where somebody gives a gift to lok sivle hachi? They didn't write a shtar with this whole nusach, and the nosei the matana did not take upon himself any ischayvus to pay the recipient of this gift for shvach. Is hachi nami to lo tarif shvacha? Is that really the din that the reason why there's no responsibility, is no achrayus on the part of the nosei namatona to back up the shvach? Maybe it means that the Baal Chov in this case cannot collect shvach. So he writes in the footnote, Sheila sagmar isa klape ashvach. Aval etzem akarka poshet shegove Baal Chov. It means that all the karkos are definitely mishubados to this Baal Chov. Even a karka that he gives later on after the halvai, after the loan, is as a gift, even that is mishubad. But there's no shiba to the Baal Chov that could allow him to collect shvach from the mekabel matana. And the Gemara answers, Amalei, Rava says to Rav Chiya, in. That's really true. A Baal Chov cannot collect shvach from the karka of the mekabel matana. And the reason for that is because the Mekabel Matana will not be able to claim the Shvach from the Nosein. So we don't want the Mekabel Matana to be left in the lurch, so to speak. He doesn't have recourse to collect the Dmei HaShvach. So therefore, we're going to say to the Baal Chov, you have no right to collect and confiscate the Shvach from the Mekabel Matana, because the Mekabel Matana could not get any payment, reimbursement for that shvach. So again, since there was no achrayus written in the Shtar Matana on shvach, therefore the Baal Chov cannot collect the shvach from the Mekabel Matana. So Rav Chiya turns back and he asks Rava, v'chi yofe koch matana mimecher? Is it possible that as far as a sale is concerned, the Baal Chov has rights to collect shvach from the lokeach, but he cannot collect shvach from a kabel matana? As if to say, giving a gift is a stronger kind of a kinyan than a sale. Amalei, so Rava turns back to Rav Chiya and he says, in, yofer, v'yofer. I'll just quickly read to you. I think we ran out of time here, but just to read to you a summary of the Ritva here. The Ritva says, "Me'achav yeno chozer al anosen ligvos es hashvach." Is mishum kachlo yigva mimenu abal chovis hashvach. Now, since the recipient cannot get reimbursed for the shvach from the nosen, therefore we're not going to allow the bal chov to collect the shvach from the makabel matonah. Shere bishbochas hamakabel lo hifsid abal chov lo klum. The bal chov is getting what he deserves, meaning the karka. He has no rights to collect the hashbocha samakalkil, and he's not losing anything if he can't collect hashbocha, because that hashbocha didn't exist. Rakas hakarka atzma gove balchov, sharehu omer lokeach, lama kaniso sa, umeichad agves chovi. So when it's a lokeach, the balchov has a right to say, lokeach, you bought this karka, and I want to be secure that I can collect my chov from this karka. And not only that, if I take the shvach, then you have recourse to go back to the mocher and collect the shvach. But not so in the case of mekabel matana. So we're going to say to the bal chov, look, you're not losing anything by not collecting the shvach. And not only that, we're going to say you have no rights to collect the shvach because the mekabel matana has no recourse to go back to the nosein and get reimbursed for a shvach. Okay, then, that's where we'll stop over here.